Right, Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Won't be too long here tonight, and I mean it. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And I've entitled this Vision 2025. Acts 26. We're going to look at essentially what the Lord's main vision is for the church. When we think about the church and we think about vision and moving forward, oftentimes we think about this all-encompassing type vision, which is accurate. But the Lord does have a main purpose and a main vision for the church. And that's what we can never, ever lose sight of. I'm all for building projects and building remodeling and things outside on the property and things like that, but ultimately we cannot lose sight of what the Lord's main vision is for the church. But Acts 26, and we're going to look at a passage of scripture in verse 19 where Paul is standing before King Agrippa, and he's given his testimony before King Agrippa, and we're going to look at that in verse 19, just a phrase that we're going to launch from, and it's in verse 19, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house this evening. Just ask you, Lord, just to meet with us. I ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say, and I'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we see the contents of that vision in part in verse 20. "But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." Amen. In Acts 26, we find again the Apostle Paul giving his testimony here in detail, in great detail before King Agrippa. And it's in Acts 26, verses 1 through 29 primarily. "But Paul said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Paul hinged his whole life on this heavenly vision. When the Lord got a hold of Paul, the Lord got a hold of Paul. Paul's life changed. Paul was not the man that he was prior to this Damascus Road experience. Paul's life changed. It drastically changed. It was polar opposites. There's no way that you could look at Paul and then look at Saul and confuse the two. They were polar opposites. Paul is a prime example of one whose life was centered around the one thing, and that's God, the one person, and that's God, and following God. His life was evident of that, even through beatings and scourgings and stonings and being shipwrecked and being hungry and thirsty, being in prison. But it did not sway Paul from this heavenly vision. And it's important to grasp, because upon conversion, upon the call of God on his life, God gave Paul a vision for his life. It's seeing things essentially through the lens of spirituality, spiritual goals, so to speak, that are given by God. You see essentially what he sees for you in the future. Not every turn as he does, but in order to end up there, it takes trusting every step of the way. I wouldn't be your pastor today had my wife and I not trusted God with that step to come here. When God gives the man of God a vision, he has to get tunnel vision on that vision. There have been many a times that things have popped up here, yonder, and there to some degree. I believe the devil wants to make sure of it. The devil is an opportunist. We have to be careful when it comes to opportunities, because not every opportunity is going to be of God. There are sometimes, if we're not careful, God will have something best for us and we're on the road of best, and then something good pops up over here. And if we're not careful, we'll leave the road that's best for us and settle for a good one. Now, we've got to get tunnel vision on the vision that God gives us. All who do not help bring about that vision must not be focused on. All things that do not help bring about that vision must be cast down, even if it's what we like or another in the ministry may like. We've got to remain focused on that heavenly vision as Paul did. Now, as we look at the vision of the first century church, we learn that it was out of their vision that everything else came. Now, if our vision of God is not right, then nothing else is going to be right. And I ask you tonight, how great is your God? Not someone else's God. How great is your God? It has to be personal to you. There are times, if we're not careful, we will have a small view of God instead of a big view of God. What vision do you have of him? The reason the first century church was able to accomplish all that it accomplished was because in part of the vision that they had of God. They had the right vision of him. They saw him elevated above all else. Even what you would want. Sometimes people may be tempted to think that because you are the pastor that you get everything your way. But there are things that perhaps I would like to do even here that currently as we stand, we are many miles from it. None of us get what we want all the time in the church because God is at the head and we're not. Even though at times we all, myself included, will wish we had more say. There's been times I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I'd like to do this. I want to do this. Door's not open. What do? We wait. We wait. We sit back and wait. Can't rush God's business. You can't do it. If God's patient about something, we got to be patient about something. How many times have we gone through kicking doors down about something because that's what we wanted and ended up getting in a bind as a result because we didn't just wait on God and his timing and his season? It's God's house. It's his church. We're his people, and I'm his under shepherd. God determines the vision, and then we have to do as he leads. And then align with him and love him for it, knowing that it's best because he's never been wrong before. And today we're going to look at three characteristics about the vision here of the first century church. First off, the vision created accountability. Accountability means a state of being liable to answer for one's conduct, liability to give account, and to receive reward or punishment for actions. If we have the vision of the first century church, then certain things will characterize that vision, and it'll be true for us too. When we see the Lord as Paul saw the Lord, high and lifted up, it creates an accountability in our lives to God and God alone. And many churches today, I do believe, suffer because they don't bring about the vision that God has for the church. It is a form of reaping what they've sown. And I don't want us to be like that here. The vision of God, in large part, is the Great Commission. The vision of God is, this vision of God is for all of those who know the Lord. It brings us to one great purpose in unity. You will find it at times in our churches, and we're not exempt, that God may be leading the church in a particular direction. And at times, if we're not careful, we may have someone or a family who is not on board about a whole lot of things, not just a few things, but a whole lot of things, when perhaps the pastor and the rest of the church would be. Sometimes maybe there are problems with the vision. Maybe sometimes the problem might be with the direction. Sometimes it's tragic when it happens, but sometimes folks end up going where they can embrace the vision. I remember a specific time in my life where we were in a church that was going in a different direction than what we wanted to go in. And I remember having a conversation with the pastor, and I said, I can't do it. I'm not doing it. Going somewhere else. They're going in a different direction. They were going liberal contemporary. They're ESV now. Everything up here be black and everything. And they're just completely off the wall now. Completely off the wall. And saw that direction from the beginning. I remember having a conversation with a pastor. I said, I can't go there with you. I can't do that with you. That's the vision that you have for the church. That's not the vision that I believe God's laid out for me and my family. I can't go there with you. And you know what? And that's just an example, although maybe extreme to you, where sometimes there will be people in the church who say, you know what? I can't go there with you. I see where you're going. I see the direction, but I can't go. You know, God has a different vision for different churches. You know, if all churches were the same, it'd be pretty boring. It would be even harder to be loyal to one also. Because nothing would differentiate the churches. There would be no appeal to one over the other. But God gives us a vision. God leads the pastor. The pastor reveals the vision to the people in phases and steps. And the people of God should embrace that vision so long as it doesn't offend God. It is a matter of each individual believer seeking God, praying, and desiring to know God through His Word. And because of their vision, when we think about the first century church and these first century Christians, they could not be stopped. And this is vital. Word of God says, if God be for us, who can be against us? When you embrace the vision that God has given you, you better believe that God's for you and God is on your side. And you think about this, the first century church, it was the greatest century, the bride of Christ that we've ever seen and will ever see again. You cannot get further away from the origin of a starting point and get better with time. The first century church, hands down, was the greatest century in church history. And their vision was not about things. It was about being captured by God and His mission in this world. And we looked at the church of Laodicea this morning. It bothers me at times when churches have all the glitz and glamour, but they are empty spiritually. The fire's gone out. They don't leave better than they came for God. Not even entirely glad that they came to church upon leaving. No joy. And it's because at times churches are weighed down with organizing, weighed down by ministries that have carried them away from God. They may have started ministries as a part of the vision, but fell in love with the ministry and fell out of love with the God of the ministry. Said many times back during COVID, maybe part of why churches were meeting in parking lots and under pine trees and in tents and public parks and city squares, having to vacate church rentals and buildings and meeting in homes, was to remind the church of the living God that they don't gather for nice facilities. We don't gather to be warm, cool, and comfortable with great lighting and a place to use the restroom. We gather for God. And that is why we meet. We meet for God, and we meet to bring about His vision. We meet with Him to draw closer to Him, to serve Him, and to love Him deeper. And all else is the blessings of God for putting Him first and loving Him. And I'm afraid that even amongst the independent fundamental Baptists, if we aren't careful, we will love the blessings more than the giver of those blessings. And I'm afraid at times we have fallen in love with the benefits of God and we seek His benefits rather than His company. But you won't get the blessings apart from His company. Maybe that's what happened to Laodicea. We looked at them this morning. God blessed them from starting right and living right. Then they fell in love with the abundance and fell out of love with God and found themselves stuck in a state of lukewarmness. Notice also the vision demanded action. We just read that in verse 20, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. When Paul met the Lord, there was something that he had to do. It's amazing how the calling was all right up in there, their salvation, and then there was the calling. It's amazing. There was something he had to do immediately. Paul began to speak to people about the message that God had given him to speak. And when we see the Lord high, exalted, and lifted up, we must do what He has given us to do. You know, it's our work. It's our calling to get the gospel out. And God is our goal. The task is not the goal. We got to be careful with that when we start making tasks the goal, because then we leave God out of it. God is the goal. The task comes from our desire to please God and to obey Him. We're no different than the Catholic Church if we fall into do this and do that and leave God completely out of it. But yet, if we're not careful, we can fall into those extremes, even amongst our own circles. Paul did exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did on earth by seeking after those who were lost and bringing them to Christ. So we must have a first century vision. This vision is a vision of God, and this vision demands action. In Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So go is a verb, teach is a verb, baptizing is a verb. In verse 20, we see the word teaching. Full of verbs. It takes action on our part. God uses us to bring about His vision. And we think about the first century church. It was busting at the seams. Now, why would I have any reason to think that would not be God's vision for all of His churches? To be full. Souls being saved, new converts being baptized, added to the church, then discipled to walk with Him. Why not here at Emmanuel? Why not somewhere else down the road? God done it in the first century. The first century is our example. And my goal is to stay committed to the vision of God. And with that, we will arrive where He would have us to arrive. If we do what we're supposed to do, and we entrust the results to the Lord, then we can look up at whatever the fruit is, and that's God's business. That's God's business. I've said it many a times. I like to go to bed at night knowing I've done what I could. Whatever it was during the day, whatever my task was, I like to go to bed knowing I did what I could. I don't like going to bed at night feeling like I could have done more. I don't like that. Now, that's happened more times than I want to admit. Could have done more. Could have done more today. But here I am getting ready to close my eyes. Lastly, this vision will require faith. God told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This action requires faith because we attempt what we cannot possibly get done in the energy of our flesh. We cannot accomplish the Great Commission in our flesh. It takes spirituality. Also, how many people do stuff without being asked to, led to, sometimes told to? And this is even Christians. God knew that the Great Commission would have to be a command from Him. To add even greater emphasis to the fact that it needed to be carried out. So that little word go, in Matthew 28:19, go is a command. It's also a verb as it requires action. The vision of the Great Commission will also require faith because of the opposition that it brings, in part. It's what Paul said in testifying essentially in Acts 26. As soon as I did what God told me to do, the Jews sought to kill me. That's pretty much what he said. Opposition and hardship turns many back at times. Not seeing instant results turn many back at times. But not Paul. Paul did not choose to then not go because of threats to die. He kept going. So faith is required for this job. So what has God given us to do? Knowing this will keep us strong in the battle. And we must know that we are being obedient to what God has assigned us to do. And I do believe if we at Emmanuel Baptist Church puts God first in everything that we do, I believe He's going to bless it. I believe He will. If we put Him first. If we do what we're supposed to be doing. But out of the right heart. It's not just check, 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 check. If that was the case, everybody'd be doing it. Everybody'd be doing it. And it wouldn't be out of a heart for the Lord. The heart wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter at all if the Lord worked that way. Just because you did it, he would automatically bless it. But he looks at the heart. I agree with what Brother Weatherby said during the missions revival. He said he don't really like the word duty, so to speak, when it comes to some things. And I agree with what he said. We should have a sense of duty when we don't feel up to it, that we do it anyway. Whatever it could be that's right, that we do it anyway. But if all we're doing is just fulfilling a sense of duty and our heart is not in it, God don't like that. God's not pleased with that. How many times have you showed up to work but you didn't want to? You didn't want to do it, but it was your duty and you went. Yeah, it's good you went to work, but it would have been better if your heart was in it. It's your duty to come to church. How many times have we come when our heart wasn't in it? My hand, all my two hands, they'd be up. Because I've done it. I've not wanted to come at times. I have not wanted to come at times. But out of a sense of duty, you do what? You do it. And then I think we need to get with the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me because my heart wasn't in it. I did it. I showed up. Check. Duty. Duty, duty, duty. I did it. But my heart wasn't in it. God don't bless that. That's literally a check in the box. That's all that is. It's a check in the box. And sometimes we can do that. We can go through checking them boxes. And if we're not careful, we'll be full of do, 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 do. And no heart. No heart about us. And I'm telling you, I've fallen victim to it at times. Doing what you know to be right, but not feeling it. It ain't in here. Now, if it ain't for God, who's it for? Who's it for if it ain't for God? It's for man. So-and-so pat me on the back because I came to church today. It's for man. I showed up today. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But if we're not careful, that will be us. And yet, duty should drive you when you don't want to, but you shouldn't live there, or else you ain't got the heart for it. You might as well, after a while, you might as well just be real. Yes. Just be real. Like the passage this morning, either cold or hot, you might as well just be real. If your heart ain't in it, you're just going through the motions. But this vision here that God gave to Paul, we find it where God has given it also to the church. And that's our goal this year. We gotta fulfill this the best that we can, and then entrust the results to the Lord. Lord, as we come before you, thank you.